Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's Friday, so we will now be talking television with Alexander Zeldin. Alexander works over at TheDecider.com, a great website if you like entertainment news or television news. How are you, Alexander? Nice to have you.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
If you wouldn't mind, a quick update. Last week, as we were presenting this segment with you, we got word about the head of CBS, Les Moonves, being, challenged in that they thought that he had conducted himself improperly with women.
Mm-hmm.
Where did things stand there?
Well, they've only progressed ever so slightly at this point. You know, there was an article in The New Yorker from Ronan Farrow who broke a lot of the stuff around Harvey Weinstein about inappropriate content from, contact from Les Moonves, as you mentioned, over a span of decades at this point. CBS has very slowly come around to taking some sort of action. Les Moonves is still there. He's still in charge of CBS. But the first step that they did was they are putting together an independent investigation, basically getting a third party to look into the charges. But at the same time, where a lot of these things, when they've come up, you've seen the person immediately step down or make some sort of statement about it. Les Moonves hasn't said anything. He's still there. He's still at his job. This investigation will go on, and whatever it finds, we'll find. But right now, at least at CBS, other than this, everything's the same.
Julie Chen, his wife, defended him on, was she on?
On The Talk?
Yeah, I don't know which one she was. But yeah. And maybe, listen, if I was innocent, I wouldn't step down. I really wouldn't. I'd say do your investigation. It seems weird that why didn't they make him step down or put him off in the sidelines until this was investigated?
You know, it's a little tough to say. One of the things that makes it very complicated is arguably Les Moonves is CBS. You know, there's not really that many celebrity network runners at this point, but Les Moonves is the face of CBS. He's been the biggest champion of CBS for decades now. So even if, in a far-reaching possibility, every single thing was 100% absolutely true, I could still see them wanting to be business as usual as much as possible, particularly for CBS, which is a very old-school network, while all of these investigations go on. But again, that's a big F.
What do you make of Stephen Colbert? A day or so after the allegations were made public, Stephen Colbert spent quite a bit of time on his show condemning that sort of behavior and the people who do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember him mentioning Les Moonves by name, but if you saw the segment, you knew exactly who he was talking about. And that's essentially his boss.
Yeah, I honestly would say, in my opinion, good on him for doing that. You know, that he is, whether late night is, you know, waning at this point, whether it's gotten spread around with the rise of so many other networks and so many late night shows, it's still a mouthpiece for an organization in a very different way. And having Colbert get out front of that, being honest about his feelings about it, and as you mentioned, not mentioning Les Moonves because I'm sure legally he can't, I think he did the right thing there. It would have been an elephant in the room otherwise, and getting out front of it was the right thing to do.
Still, there had to have been a moment where Stephen Colbert and his producers are in the office going, if we bring this to the show, what's going to happen behind the scenes? Is Les Moonves going to call him in at some point and go, that can't go on. I'm still your boss. I'm still the president of CBS. Do you think that happened?
There had to be a discussion behind the scenes, 100%. I'm sure they could not have done that segment without clearing it first. And I think ultimately, to the point you brought up earlier, he didn't mention Les by name. He is condemning the behavior. If you go in the other direction with the assumption that Les Moonves is 100% innocent, then there should be no skin off his back for Colbert coming out and saying this behavior is deplorable.
Yep.
I can't pay attention to this anymore because all I can think about now is I read news that they may be rebooting ALF. That's all I can think about, and that's all I want to talk about.
Very equal issues, I think.
Sure. Also controversial.
Yes, it is. A lot of people are very upset about this, and I would come out to say it's very early days with any sort of ALF reboot at this point. They don't have a showrunner. They don't have writers. They don't have producers. They don't even really have a concept.
They got a puppet.
Warner Brothers. They got a puppet. Basically, the joke that I put out on Twitter is I think there's probably a lot of stray cats on the Warner Brothers lot. They didn't know how to deal with the problem, and they thought, bring Alf back.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's just Warner Brothers kind of looking into it. To be honest, I think there's a lot of love for Alf, as you mentioned. I don't think they would do a lot of people joked on Twitter, a gritty CW-style reboot or anything like that. But continuing the show, having a lovable Alf deal with the modern world in some way might be a lot of fun.
I'm sorry.
Wendy's very excited to hear this, Alex. Very excited.
Well, it was a strange thing. You read about all these reboots, and
right.
then Alf was one of them. I know we've heard about a Frasier reboot as well.
But with some possible problems, right, Alex? We don't know now.
Yeah, it's a little back and forth. It's not all gloom and doom if you are looking forward to a Frasier reboot. Basically, at this point, Kelsey Grammer is iffy on it, is how I would characterize it. He's not totally opposed to the idea, but he wants to make sure that if they do it, that he does it in the right way. And particularly when you think about it, one of our great writers, and honestly one of the greatest sitcom writers I've ever read for our site, Brett White, his knowledge about sitcoms is insane, mentioned that in his article about it, that Grammer has played Frasier 8 seasons on Cheers and 11 seasons on Frasier. So to go back to that well again and say, great, let me just do this for a bunch more years, that's a big thing. But at the same time, he also mentions in the same article that time-wise, Frasier's son Frederick is about 30 years old now. So if you think about it from the John Mahoney, Kelsey Grammer dynamic on Frasier, if you translate that to Frasier and his own son, that would actually be a really interesting thing for a reboot. But we'll have to see what happens.
That's the scenario that is the most exciting. I've heard other ideas thrown around, but the one you just mentioned, that's a good idea. It's exactly what we were used to seeing, but one generation advanced. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and one of the other things about Frasier is it's a show that was good throughout. There's a lot of shows that kind of flag in the last couple of seasons, but to think about how long it ran and it kept up the quality throughout, to see it again might actually be a really good thing.
Absolutely. All right, more with Alex Zelbin right after this. Stick around. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you're a fan of entertainment and entertainment news. Alex, help me through this. People have suggested that if the deal goes through where Disney buys Fox, that The Simpsons could be displaced because Disney wouldn't want somebody else's animation on their network. That can't be right, can it?
It's not, actually, as it turns out. You know, we're in the middle of the Television Critics Association tour, where all the networks present their new schedules, their new shows to television critics. One of our writers, Kayla Cobb, is out there right now. She's actually about to jump into the FX day. But yesterday was the Fox day, and of course they were right up front, right at the beginning, about the whole merger, and said that basically not much is going to change. At least that's the plan right now in terms of Disney taking over Fox. They're referring to it as a quote-unquote new Fox, which is not an official name, but that's what they're going with at the moment. And they said that programs like The Simpsons will most likely continue on Fox because it's such a part of the brand. They don't want to change too much. If I was to speculate beyond what they said, the big thing that most likely will happen is you have this forthcoming Disney video on demand service, and you'll probably see things like The Simpsons that have a really huge back catalog of episodes going over to that. So you'll be able to watch the old episodes there instead of potentially things like FX Plus or FX Now. But in terms of watching it on the channel, I think you'll be fine. You won't have to change too much.
Good. Very good news.
Looking very forward to Monday, Better Call Saul, the season premiere. I have to say, I loved Breaking Bad. And when Bob Odenkirk and Saul showed up on that show, I'm like, this show is so serious. He's just this foil, and I don't know if it fits. And now I ended up liking Better Call Saul better than Breaking Bad.
I have to agree with you completely. I cannot believe it, but the show is wonderful. It's phenomenal. It's a beautiful show. It's a slow show, but the way that I was talking to somebody about it the other day around the office is it's purposeful.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of shows that have now in the age of peak TV have just very long and targeted looks, but they don't really feel like anything. They feel like they're supposed to be saying something. Everything in Better Call Saul means something. And without spoiling anything, I've actually seen the first couple of episodes of the next season, and it's as good as ever, if not better. Breaking Bad fans are going to freak out about the things that happen throughout the course of the episodes. Again, no spoilers. And in particular, it isn't exactly that the show has been sleeping on Ray Sehorn, who plays Bob Odenkirk's female opposite on the show, but if this season does not win her an Emmy, just based on the episodes I've seen alone, there is no justice in the world.
And she started out slow in my book, too. Like, boy, she has a very deadpan delivery, and I'm not really a fan. And then she totally grew on me to where she just blossomed in just such a fantastic character.
Yeah, there were, if you watch the show, there were some big events that happened at the end of the last season. Yeah. A major character died. Her character ended up in this awful car accident. And they don't let go of that in the first couple of episodes. They deal with it and delve into it and the emotional weight of all that. And in particular, a lot of it is on her and on her character. And it's beautiful, heartbreaking work. It's wonderful.
Where'd she come from, Alex? I don't know that I'd ever seen her in anything else, anything before the show. I'm usually pretty good at noticing actors and actresses like that, but I never saw her before. She came out of nowhere, and she's really good.
She was a comedian. She sort of bounced around for a while. She was on Whitney, the Whitney Cummings show, yeah, for a couple of years. She was on a show called I'm With Her, and Head Cases and other things. But like you said, this was something where she popped onto Better Call Saul and suddenly completely blossomed.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. I'm
good.
A big fan.
That's
I'm going to wrap myself in aluminum foil and one of those blankets and watch
the
upcoming episodes.
Way to do it. That's by far the best. For fans of 24, it may be coming back, but it may be coming back twice. Explain.
Again, this is from the Fox TCA day. It seems like they're not totally clear on what they want to do, other than the fact that they love 24 and want to keep making it forever, whether it involves Kiefer Sutherland or not. Right now, there's two ideas. One of them is a 24 prequel that would focus on Jack Bauer and what brought him up to the beginning of 24. And then the other one, which I think is actually really more interesting and much weirder, is a legal drama in the style of 24 and in the world of 24. So where you've had Jack Bauer, and then in 24 Legacy, you had Corey Hawkins' character kind of jumping around the world and fighting people. This would follow the legal repercussions of all those things, or at least that's the idea. And that's almost weird enough to work, I think.
Would the gimmick still be there that each episode, each one-hour episode, is 1 hour of a 24-hour day, or are they scrapping that idea?
They don't know, but my guess is they would keep it, just because I remember them talking about 24 Legacy when that came out, and they felt like that was such a part of the DNA of the series that they really can't lose that conceit.
Right.
So I think that'll remain integral going forward.
I always thought, to make that gimmick realistic, let's say you sleep 6 or 7 hours out of the day, 6 or 7 episodes should just be your main character just sleeping. Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, for that, you can watch Big Brother, I guess.
I love that show, and I'm not caught up. So what will happen to Julie Chen if something happens to Les Moonves?
Oh.
And by the way, someone has texted us and said, Bill and the Decider, which is, of course, Alex Zalman, who works for Decider.com, it said that Colbert definitely did name Moonves.
Did he? I didn't remember him saying the name. That's more interesting if he said
it
the
is.
Name. Wow.
It's yeah.
Fascinating. Tim Allen has been in the news lately. Yesterday, he was kind of defending Roseanne Barr and talking about it. Did you get a chance to hear any of his quotes?
I did. We wrote it up for the site a little bit. You know, he's being upfront. Again, this is stuff from TCA. They're talking about Last Man Standing, which is bumping from ABC over to Fox. They talked a little bit about how the show will change or not now that it's on Fox. Basically, they're not going to come right out and say he's a Trump supporter, but he's definitely going to be conservative, as he was previously on the show. They also talked about how their pickup of Last Man Standing was specifically because of the success of Roseanne, which led into this conversation where he talked about, I know Roseanne, I've known her well. He said some weird things about her being the most diverse person he knows, which doesn't really make sense for a person. And he also said some pretty, frankly, without getting too rough about it, wrote things for older comedians about who's making up these rules, about comedy, lamenting PC culture, etc. So it wasn't anything too shocking, particularly if you've been following Tim Allen's career in the past couple of years. But he also didn't outright come out and say, I support what Roseanne said about Valerie Jarrett or anything like that. And thank God for Fox that he didn't.
He's sticking with the fact that his show got canceled because he is a fan of Donald Trump's. He's sticking by that.
That's so not true.
Yeah,
I don't know why it was, though. Weren't the ratings stellar for that show? That's what confuses me.
The ratings were very good. It was, I believe, the number two comedy on TV at the time. But frankly, in terms of broadcast TV, ratings are not great overall. You know, you have cable, you have streaming, you have everything bifurcating where people are watching TV. So frankly, even if he had a really popular comedy, that doesn't mean that it was right for ABC going forward. And ABC is changing a lot of its programming going into the new season. They're changing both from the drama and the comedy side. Fox as well pivoted away from one-camera comedies and back to three-camera comedies. So there's a lot of changes going on, and honestly, I would point more towards overall network things rather than anybody's particular political leanings.
Tell Tim Allen that. We already know that. Call him as soon as we're done with you. Call Tim Allen and tell him that.
Why do people like him
right
so
after
much?
We get off.
I liked Tool Time when it was on.
It.
I mean, it was funny, but it's kind of the same delivery of what he's doing with Last Man Standing. I've watched a couple episodes. It's okay, but I just don't understand the big...
I'm baffled by it, too.
Yeah.
But it has been very popular, but I'm confused by it myself. Alex, great to talk to you. And again, if you had to pick something big to watch this week, it's probably Better Call Saul right over on AMC.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're not caught up, go binge the season. It's all on Netflix right now, leading into the fourth season, which premieres on Monday. It's fantastic. You won't regret it.
Good.
And Preacher's getting very weird and dark. So if you want a weird and dark Betty Buckley, jump on board. I'm sorry. I love that show.
Yeah, basically, turn your TV on AMC and never turn it off.
That's the way to be it. All right, well, thanks, Alex. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. It's Alexander Zelman from Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.